We're going to start off today because I like object lessons. I like to do fun things. So everybody's going to stand up. And I know this is going to be complicated, but we're going to start on the center line. As you can see on this whiteboard, it says that you believe that these things are right or good. You are pleased with the things that I'm going to say because we're going to do an exercise that's called choosing sides. If you're on this side, you think that it's bad or not okay. Does everybody understand the premise of what we're saying? So I'm going to give you an item. This is just a warm-up. You tell me if you think this is good or right, or if you think this is bad and not right. Got it? Does everybody understand? Try not to hit the expensive equipment in the corner.
What about me?
Well, we haven't even started yet. But you cannot. It's a good reminder. You cannot be in the middle. You have to choose a side. You must choose a side. There's no in between. Now, here's the thing. If you kind of like something or you think it's kind of okay, I want you to stand here, but you can't be in the middle. You gotta choose a side. If you think that there's something like way over here that you love it, it's the most amazing thing in the whole world, get as close to this wall as possible. If you think it's the worst thing in the world and you think that there's no room for it, it should be demolished off the face of the earth, you gotta stand on this side. Does everybody understand? Okay. Ice cream. Particularly mint ice cream.
Which side is good or bad?
Good is that far side, bad is this far side. Maybe you're like, I can eat it. So let's say, I don't really like it, but I'll eat it at Christmas time. Because you got like peppermint ice creams, right? Maybe you'll eat it then. Wow, I'm surprised how many
chocolate always.
Chocolate and only chocolate. Okay, the next one. Licorice,
but tight.
Just black licorice.
Oh, I don't know.
Black licorice. Black
licorice? You don't like black licorice? What is wrong with
okay.
you?
Okay, as close, like, you could only eat one piece? Is that what you're hearing? One piece.
If you're just like hammering it down, it's not good.
No.
So just like one piece, that's fine.
Every once in a while?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Black licorice, you enjoy the flavor.
Okay,
this is very interesting. Now, this one is a real polarizing question. Cats. Cats. Do you like cats? Cats? I like cats, but I'm allergic. So I'm like, they're gross, but if I had to live with them, I wouldn't be able to. I like cats as a concept. I like cat logos. I like cats themselves. Rainy days. Who enjoys a good rainy day?
There's no
doubt. We don't get it very often, so when it happens.
No, not you. Don't call me.
Okay, I gotta know, why do you not like rainy days? Or you like this?
Yeah, no.
That's the bad side.
Oh, what?
Jared got me confused. Okay, I'm
It's so gray.
It's so gray. You feel like you're careful right coming in. $1 million equipment in the corner. Careful. Right now we're choosing sides. Do you like rainy days or do you not like rainy days?
This is not like this. Is
not like black. You're not. Yeah, okay, good. You're in the middle. All right. And you, tell me your feelings about rainy days because you're kind of close, kind of that close.
I like them as long as it's not freezing.
Not cold rainy days. Like that. Very specific. Going to the beach. You don't like beach. You don't like sand. You don't like. Okay, this is. Oh, you don't like the beach. All beaches or like lake beaches, just the ocean beaches. All the things related to the beach. Okay. Oh man, you're like really close. Explain to me your thought process. Why are you so close? Because I don't know if there's anyone as close. You're like, oh, you're pretty close. You're almost there. Tell me your thought process. The beach.
It can't be busy, extremely busy. The temperature has to be right.
Okay, well, what is the right temperature for the beach?
Probably 95.
95, okay. 95. Water is too cold. Okay.
50 is warm enough.
Doing dishes.
I'm going to use
someone
else without my doing it, but I prefer not to.
Okay. actually, I'm on the wall, if I could be on the wall, yeah.
You're good.
Doing dishes, yeah.
You like doing dishes?
I love doing dishes. It's like very soothing for me. I like cleaning the plates. I don't even like putting them in the dishwasher. I like to do the work myself. I like that. All right, finally, the most polarizing question I will have so far. Going to school. Do you like it or do you prefer something different? Would you rather be, okay, no one absolutely hates it. That's good. I'm pleased with your mentality. You're like on this side. You'd rather not.
I'd rather.
Okay, but you have to, so you put up with it. Okay. Some people love school. All right, and now I gotta know. Public school or homeschool? Raise your hand if you are public school. Okay, all right. And then everybody else is up to, I get it.
I guess.
Very cool. Okay. Have a seat. We're gonna talk about, so those are kind of likes and dislikes, and that's easy to kind of navigate likes or dislikes. I get that side of it. We're gonna switch it up because we're gonna still be choosing sides, but this time we're gonna be talking kind of about more moral or ethical dilemmas. Okay? So, on this side, it is not just doing, or if you feel like it's good, but more if you think it's right. And on this side, it is wrong. And on this side, it's always wrong. There is never a time it should be done, wiped off the face of the earth. On this side, it should always be done, and there's no in between. Now, this is going to be a lot more polarizing, and I think you all are good, Christ-loving, God-honoring people, so I'm interested to see your thought processes. Now, if you don't know, this topic that we're going to be delving into, what's the headline, is handling temptations in our culture. I think for your age group, temptations is a hard subject. So this is kind of setting up the rest of the class. Okay, so this side, never should happen. This side, there's an opportunity where, is that right? No, it's always right, always wrong. So we'll see how you all sort it out. I don't know. We'll go here. Punching someone. Is it ever okay? Is it never okay? Is it right? Is it wrong?
Wait, right?
This is wrong.
This
is someone. This is someone. And maybe there's a time for it. Oh, he's close. All right, now I want to hear some thoughts. When is it okay to punch someone?
Self-defense.
Okay, so you're like, it's wrong, but I would rather not do it. Okay? It's never right to punch someone, right? Here.
This is a good side.
This is a good side. You think it's okay to punch someone?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell me when it's okay to punch someone.
If they're
attacking you. Okay, self-defense. I like that. Over here, when is it? It's absolutely wrong to punch someone.
Choose her.
No, I chose her. I chose you, stranger.
No.
Choose her.
Okay.
No, me.
Okay, sure. When is it? It's never okay to punch someone. You're kind of far from the line.
Two there.
All right. Being honest, it's always, you should tell the truth at all costs, even if it hurts someone's feelings. But there are times, and then if you're on this side, you're like, hey, you should just lie, because lying is good. If I sat over here, lying is just good. Okay. This is very interesting. Where do you stand? Tell me your thought process.
If being honest is gonna like get you hurt or something, like if someone is asking where you live, but they look like they're gonna hurt you, then you don't want to betray.
Okay, so you're on that. You have a good thought process. All right, where do you stand? Right there. Tell me why. Tell me.
I don't know.
Okay. It's complicated. It is a very complex question. Being honest. Being honest, being as close to the line, but not over the line. Okay, we're gonna jump into helping others. Should always do it, shouldn't do it.
What? What'd you say?
Helping others. Helping others. Helping others kill people.
What?
It's like, yeah. All right. It really depends on the situation, what you're helping them do. Are you helping them do good activities, or are you helping them do something that's negative?
Stealing.
Never okay to steal. There's times where I need to feed my family. If you want to know anything about me, I love to play Les Miserables, right? This idea of Jean Valjean, he steals bread in order to feed his sister's family. Then he has to go to prison for 20 years. It's horrible. Okay to steal. Lying. Is it ever okay to lie? We kind of, that's being honest. We'll jump over that. Getting angry. Is it ever okay to be angry?
What are you getting angry for?
Well, these are great questions. You sort this out in your own mind.
Good, bad. Anyone want to defend their position on it's okay to be angry?
Well, I mean, if you're getting upset at someone for doing something bad, but you don't like hurt them.
Yeah, I like that. That's a really good answer. That's a great answer. All right?
I think it's okay to get angry as long as you don't use it to hurt someone. Like, even Jesus got angry, so.
It's a very good point.
Depends what you're angry on.
Murder!
Never right now.
Notice I say murder and not killing someone. Murder.
Murder.
No, self-defense would be killing someone.
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference between
killing and murder?
Yeah, murder is out of malice. That's like intent.
That's not as fun though.
Wow. All right, good justification. What about being jealous? What about being jealous? The last one, being jealous. Is it ever okay to be jealous?
God is a jealous God.
Oh, so really, really comes down to semantics. Jealousy, jealousy.
Depends on what you're being jealous of.
Okay. Is it something that's yours? Very interesting. All right, everybody have a seat. We love to make choices when it's something about our personal opinion, but when there are other people come into the picture, it can get complicated. For instance, take the idea of anger. Is it okay to get angry? I think it was like a very interesting thing. Is it okay to be angry? Is it okay to get angry? Is it something that's bad all the time? Or is it something that's bad just some of the time? Are there instances? We're talking about temptations. Just to catch you up to speed. There's been a lot of groundwork ahead of time. This is where we're at. Is it okay? Well, let's look at some of this, right? Some of this is 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. It says, now the Lord was angry with Solomon. Can everybody see? If you can't see, we're done getting up. You can take your seat and move over to a place where you can see. If you can't, that's fine. All right. Now the Lord was angry. Oh, that's big. The Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice. Well, this is interesting. God is angry. Then we have Ephesians 4:26 through 27. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life, but to those who are self-serving and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he will give wrath and indignation. Okay, so there's this idea of being angry, and then Ephesians says, be angry and do not sin. Okay, so okay to be angry, but then sinning, we all know that's Christianity 101, we shouldn't sin, right? We shouldn't God has a desire and a design for our life, and then we don't want to move away from that desire or that design. So we're kind of stuck with this idea. There's parts, I'm going to say on this side, this is sin, so I'm now switching it up. This is sin over here. And there is God's good will and holy design for our lives, what we should want to be. So we're this is the idea. Don't sin, that's a bad thing. Holiness, sin. Here's the thing. We don't want to sin. That's sin on that side. We want to do what's right. But we're talking about temptation. What does that look like? Where is temptation in all of this area? How do I get to being where God wants me to be, but not sinning? And this is kind of a really complex thing. So we're going to use anger as our understanding of what it is to do what God wants us to do, but then to not be a sinner in that regard. All right. This is where Jesus says. He says, you have heard that the angels were told, you shall not murder. So if anybody used to no murder, it's a good thing. You figured it out. Good. And whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be answerable to the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be answerable to the Supreme Court. That would be the Sanhedrin of the time, the Jewish court, that would be able to judge and deliberate whether someone was doing what was right in God's eyes or not. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty. And so hopefully we can appreciate the spectrum. That's what this line means. That's a spectrum. You have a beginning, an end, and everything that's in between. So hopefully we can appreciate the spectrum of what Jesus is saying here. He says, on one side of the line, it is being angry with your brother. He says, on one side, we have anger with your brother, right over here. Then we said, he kind of gets to the closer to the line. He says, whatever you do, he says, you've heard it said, don't murder. So murder is way over here. He says, but as you get a little closer, this is like having anger with your brother. And then he says, a little closer, you are calling them names. And then a little closer, you're labeling them as a fool. Actually, it's in this direction, right? So it's like this. He says, calling them names, that's bad. He says, this is... Then on this side, he's like, you've labeled them, you've called them names, and then this side is the anger side, holding that within your heart. And then he says, all the way over here is murder. Here's the thing about we as humans. We often like to get to as close as possible to the line. We like to say, hey, look, this is, I know that it's wrong for me to label someone as a fool, to call them names. I know I'm not murdering them. But I'm going to get as close to the line. And I liked our exercise at the beginning because a lot of you all, like, maybe you're not on the line, but your shoes are just above the line. And so we like to get to this place where we're like, I know the right thing to do is way over here in the corner. But I'm going to get as close to the line as possible without crossing it. Here's the thing. When you're so close to the line, your actions, your hearts, they start to creep over the line. They start to get to this place where it's almost impossible for you to return. I'm going to tell you all a story. Story about a dragon. I like dragons. You all like dragons. Once there's this beautiful medieval town. It was isolated from the rest of the world. For most of the villagers that lived there, it was peaceful. It was quiet. Oh, it was a beautiful place. And sure, it had its problems. Every village has its problems. This little village, the problem is a vicious dragon. Now, this vicious dragon, it lives outside of the village in a cave. And a long time ago, a time when the town was first starting out, the dragon never came in to the town. Never entered into this place. And so for the last 20 years, they found a way to kind of calm the dragon down. You know what, at first it was this idea. Every week, The villagers would take one sheep outside of the town, feed the dragon, to keep the dragon from coming into the town. And then, you know what, the dragon got a little bigger, and it was two sheep. And the dragon gets a little bigger. It's still living in the cave, so it doesn't come out, but every week, there's this, I gotta satisfy the dragon. And as time goes on, it's three sheep. Then it's three sheep and a cow, because this dragon's getting a lot bigger. And then as time wears on, you gotta have three sheep, a cow, a couple pigs, because the dragon, although in the cave outside of the town, it's getting hungrier and hungrier. And you can tell that this dragon wants to come into the town. They gotta keep feeding it, and they keep feeding it. And as 20 years goes by, this dragon grows to an enormous size, so big that it can no longer live within the cave. So big that it can no longer be in there, and so it has to come into the village. And here's the problem. Now that the dragon is so large that the walls cannot keep the dragon out, so large that the knights aren't able to keep the dragon at bay. So what do you think happens to the village?
It's
destroyed. It's destroyed because the things that they thought they were calming the dragon down by feeding it, they were actually helping it to grow larger and larger. What would have happened if the town never fed the dragon? What would have happened if the town never fed the dragon?
The dragon would have died.
The dragon would never have grown, right? It would have been a baby dragon left alone in a cave, and eventually it would have died. What if the village would have gotten rid of the dragon before it got too large to control? Made up stories, so your answers can also be made up.
The town probably wouldn't survive.
What was that?
The town probably wouldn't survive.
The town wouldn't survive. Now, we all know that this story is not real. I just said it was made up. It's a story about temptations. It's a story about how we in our lives have temptations, and it's kind of like the dragon. It's kind of like the dragon because here we are. We know what is wrong. We know the bad things that we should stay away from. Yeah, we like to feed it. Now, I'm not crossing the line, but I'm feeding it. I'm allowing anger within my heart to be there, and I'm throwing it this thing that I think will calm it down. Or maybe it's some other type of sin in your life. Maybe it's like a sexual thing. You're like, hey, I'm not doing anything bad. I know it's just my boyfriend and I, and we're like, we do some things, and it's not bad, man. We're not crossing the line yet. I'm gonna feed it a little bit. I'm gonna let it have these thoughts within my head. And I'm not crossing the line. I won't cross the line. I'm putting up a boundary, but I'm feeding it. And over time, the dragon gets too large for you to control. Over time, you're getting to this point and you're saying, I'm just going to entertain it little bit. You can see how this can become a problem with our lives. So let's discuss this word temptation for a little bit. Let's discuss it. Because we see that there is a thing where you can be tempted, and yet it is not a sin yet. We've kind of seen that. Where you can be tempted, there's maybe something that you know is wrong, and you can see that it's wrong, but you're not going to cross the line. And so you get to this point where you're like, I'm tempted. And then there comes a moment in all of our lives, whether we recognize it or not, where we have moved into a sinful state. I'm tempted, and now I'm sinning. That's a hard place for us to be in. And so we get to this idea where you're tempted, and then become sin. But we know that sin is not, or temptation is not a sin. We know that because of Bible verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the
offering for our sin, so that he would be made, so that we would be made right with God through Christ. So Christ would never sin. Isaiah 53, prophesying about Christ, it says, he had done no wrong and never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. And he was put in a rich man's grave. Isaiah prophesies about the Messiah. He says, he did no wrong. He didn't even deceive anyone. 1 Peter chapter 2, 22, it says, he never sinned. And this is echoing the thought of Isaiah 53, nor deceived anyone. So Jesus never sinned. We can agree to that, right? Jesus never sinned. Good. And yet, we have verses like Hebrews 4, 15 that says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. So, temptation is not sin. That's a concept that we have to kind of wrestle with. Our question is, when does it move from this to this? Our question is, when does it get from point A to crossing the line and knowing that, here's the thing, we're all sinners. We have all sinned. That's just a part of our existence on this earth. That doesn't mean it's okay. But we want to know, when do we cross the line? When do we get to that point? So Jesus never sins, yet we know he was tempted. I like to think of it as kind of the big bad wolf. Everybody remembers this story. There's a moment in this story where the wolf is doing what? Before he gets to the pigs, what is he doing? He's huffing and he's puffing. This is kind of like that temptation phase. It's not a sin until the wolf is in your house. It's kind of like the dragon. It's not there until the dragon's in your village. Yet you're feeding it. You're allowing it to grow within your heart. You're allowing that to be something that is starting to consume you. And so what is temptation? We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles, grab that. This is the first instance of humanity, and it's a wonderful lesson on what temptation is. It's a wonderful lesson on what temptation is because it gives us a glimpse into our own hearts, and it lets us see how God views it from his perspective. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it. She took some and ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. We can actually gain a lot of insight from this passage. So I'm going to ask some questions. Some open-ended question. Where in this process did Adam and Eve move from temptation to sin?
By eating the fruit that God did not tell them to eat.
Yeah, by eating of the fruit. Had she noticed that it was good for food, had she had noticed those other things, she would not have sinned. It's the moment where she takes hold of it. Eats the apple. What a marvelous thought. To know that you can come that close without transgressing God's law. It's a big deal. What was the temptation? What is the temptation? Look through that passage. Go through it. What is the temptation? So, well, the sin is disobedience. What's the temptation? What is tempting? is tempting about it?
The wisdom.
Knowledge. Knowledge, wisdom.
Delight. Yes.
It's something that's attractive.
Looks good.
Looks good.
It's something that she doesn't have.
It's desirable. It's something I don't have. But it's something I don't have, but I would like it. And so you're tempted in those regards. And you say, I want to come close. Oh, that looks so attractive. That looks like something I really want. You eat the fruit. This is how the Apostle John puts it. I think he crystallizes it best. He crystallizes it best. John, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, this is where it gets key. Here's some pages turning, so I'll wait. Verse 16, John 2, 16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And so we come to this realization where the world will entice us with the way things look, the way things will make us feel, and then this desire to make ourselves better, or at least in the eyes of ourselves, and then we cross the line. This is temptation. This is temptation because it is loving the world over our love for God. When we start to see the world and its things as more attractive than what God can present to us, we start to move closer and closer to this line. Now, this happens in many different facets. We went through a whole bunch of things leading up to this, about things like being honest, things like stealing. There's even more even serious things in our lives that often plague us. Things like sexual purity, where we start to think to ourselves, if I can just get closer to the line without crossing it. And yet we feed the dragon. And so these are the things that we list, that John lists. He says, desiring something with our eyes, that's attractive. That's something that I would like. This is how Eve is attacked in the garden as well. She saw that the fruit was good and pleasing to the eye. Desiring something with our flesh, this is going to make me feel good. Eve has this same idea in the garden. It's good for food. Oh, it's something that will fill my belly. Or maybe some other desire that you have within your body. Oh, and it's desirable for gaining wisdom. This is the pride of life. Putting yourself over everything else, including God's design for you. Getting to that point and saying, I'm creeping closer and closer and closer, and I know God doesn't want me to do this thing, but I'm going to step over anyway. It'll become a dangerous territory. And this is us, constantly pursuing things of the world instead of the things that God wants us to. Temptation is recognizing what is counter to God and saying, I don't care. I'm going to do it my way anyway. Jesus will go on to say in the Sermon on the Mount that this is sin. He says, even lusting after someone in your heart is sin. Because that's the feeding of the dragon. It's getting so close to it. And saying, I will pursue this even if I know I'm going to cross the line. So that really becomes a heart check with us. That becomes a heart check. Because this is what I think can be the dangerous territory. It's knowing that God wants me to live a certain way. And then wanting to get closer and closer and closer and closer. And I think it's important for us to say, I don't want to be near that line. Because that's where the dragon is. I want to stay where God wants me to stay. And I know that there's a myriad of things that we can address in our lives. There's a myriad of things that we can address
And I could go through the spectrum, and this afternoon, if you stay in the class, we're going to talk about social things that are happening in the world today, where the world wants to get closer and closer to the line, and the world is going to even blur the line at times. And that becomes really complex. But it's up to us to sit back and to wonder, what does God want for me? What is his desire for my life? When do our desires start to creep over the line? When do our desires start to get to this point where we're saying, I'm tempted. I know what is God's will for my life. I know God doesn't want me to have something like premarital sex. I know that, but I'm going to get close to the line. See, this is the issue that we start to address in our own lives. We say, I want to stay away from that temptation. I want to do what God finds honorable. I want to uphold those things. This is feeding the dragon. This is not feeding the dragon. This is keeping us away from that. I want us to look at this amazing passage, Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. This is the idea of saying something. You all have friends in your own lives. You all have friends that you see maybe making poor decisions. If you have a group of friends in your church realm, your spiritual realm, where you have influence on their lives in a spiritual manner, I want you all to think about Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ." Oh, and I love verse 3. It's possibly one of my favorite Bible verses. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Here's the thing. There are many times in our lives where we are playing with this, the dragon. And we get closer and closer, and what we need is good friends to come alongside us and say, "Whoa, get back from that dragon. Do you realize how close you are to messing with this realm that can be so disastrous to your life?" We need good people in our lives that as we walk close, almost like you're walking towards quicksand. And you think, "Oh, I'm going to be okay. I know the rules of quicksand, right? You just don't get in too deep and you don't mess around in it. But I'll be okay." But we need good people that come alongside us and say, "Hey, if I see someone that's struggling with this, I want you to be a part of this. I'm going to say something to you because I don't want you to get into an area that's too hard to get back from. So stay over here. Stay closer to where God wants you to be. I guarantee it will be better for your life if you stay over on this side. I guarantee it. This area, although it is tempting, although it seems like, oh, I can kind of be in both areas at once and I kind of get the freedom, this is the quicksand that will pull you in. And it will keep you from fulfilling what God wants you to do in your life. It's going to pull you closer and closer to where God doesn't want you to be. And you know what? Once you've crossed the line, it gets so much easier to continue to cross it. And then you're here. And you think, how do I get back to God? How do I get back to this place? And it becomes this really hard path. It's a really hard path to get back to where God wants you to be. Oh, it's so much better if we never cross the line in the first place. We have a little bit of time. I'm going to hand you all some note cards as we talk about saying something. I have note cards. You want to have note cards? We'll do that exercise later. All right. So I'm going to. Can I have a volunteer? Who's a volunteer?
Go ahead.
Got it. Can you do me a favor and hand this out to everyone? One of the most pivotal things that we ever see in Scripture, and go home. On your drives home sometime today, I want you to go look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is the temptation of Christ. And in this temptation of Christ, Jesus has the ability to know that Satan is tempting him to cross the line. In fact, Satan gets Jesus up to this, to some really precarious situations. The top of a mountain, the top of a temple mount. And you know what Jesus does in those moments? Do you know what he does? He uses Scripture to battle the temptations of Christ. And that becomes a really important thing for us to hold on to. And so I'm going to give you all some things, some verses that you could use in your life. On your own card, on the side that doesn't have a line, on the side that does not have a line, I want you to look at some of these things that you may struggle with. You know your heart better than others. You can shield this. This is only for you. So if there's something that you struggle with, I want you to look at this and I want you to write it up. If you know that you struggle with lying or cheating on a test, you know that, man, grades are really important, and I'll get as close to this line of cheating that I can. These are some verses for you about honesty and doing what is right when no one is looking. Colossians 3:9, Numbers 23:19, John 14:6, Psalms 120, verse 2. What about stealing? Man, I know I had a friend in high school. Oh, man, I love this friend. But he had this desire to steal. He'd go into gas stations and he'd grab something and put it in his pocket. Oh, it bothered me so much. Bothered me so much that he did that. Maybe you think that risky behavior is something that you enjoy as well. Those are some verses for you. Maybe you're struggling with sex and sexual purity. Those are some things that you can hold on to look at that God's design for your life. Maybe you struggle with anger and getting to that point where, man, I get angry at people, even politicians. Even some of you are starting to drive. Maybe you get road rage. Those are some verses about anger. Verses about jealousy, you being envious of others. Verses about drinking, smoking, laws of the land. I put laws of the land on there because right now, all of you are too young to do those activities. Whether it's morally right or not, you're too young, and so therefore it's wrong for you. And there's a reason that it's wrong. Your brains aren't fully developed, and you're not at that point yet. But it's also wrong on other levels. And so those are verses that you can hold on to know that those are things. So I want you to look at that. If you have time, write them down. Come to the middle. Really have a, you know what? If you need to, let me grab this. I need to help. You look strong. You can help me, strong person. We're gonna get this to the middle. If you need something to write on, you can just put it right in the middle of the thing. All right, it's break time. So you all filter through. I think there's gonna be stuff. I don't know. It looks like there's plates, which I think there's a meal that's coming for you all. Oh, man, look at you. Oh, you're great. Write it down. If you don't have a writing utensil, write it down. I want you all, I'm going to leave that up there for the time being. If you need to use the restroom, go. I think we're done. You can cut us.